the Rebel Room is back after a hiatus. Been a while since we've come to you, and if you thought things were looking bleak before, we've got something new in store for you. It seems like it's been almost as long that we've done a podcast that UNLV has won a game, a 7-game losing streak. We're going to discuss that today. I'm Case Kiefer alongside the UNLV experts, Mike Grimala and Ray Brewer. I know Brewer's down about this. I know Mike is trying to figure it out. So diagnose us, Mike. I mean, what's gone wrong? This has been such a bad stretch. They're losing close games. They're getting blown out. Just seems like nothing's gone right for the Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has gone right. But I think the two most illustrative games during the streak, you look at the game they played at UNR, and then you look at the game that they just played at San Diego State. And in those two games, I thought that, and I thought for the whole year that UNLV, just when you watch them play, they look relatively well-coached. You know, they run their offense, they run their sets, they get pretty good shots. They're not making as many defensive mistakes as they were earlier in the year. So, I mean, they're playing, you know, within themselves, and they're playing, you know, relatively on the scale of UNLV, they're playing almost as well as you could expect them to play. But when you see them match up against UNR and San Diego State, they just do not have those caliber of athletes. They don't have the players to match up. Like, every single position, they're getting outmatched from a standpoint of strength and quickness and athleticism. You just eyeball those guys from UNR, and UNLV just does not match up physically with those guys. You look the same thing with San Diego State. UNLV just can't match up with them in terms of, you know, they're just not fast enough and quick enough. They're not strong enough in the front court. UNLV, it's a recruiting issue. They need bigger, better, more skilled, more athletic players, and that's, I mean, the bad news is that it's going to take a while, but, I mean, they just can't match up with those guys in terms of playing the game.
I don't know what I could say to add to that. Can we wrap it up after 2 minutes? Or?
Well, I thought, I mean, you know, Mike is trying to think of the words I'm trying to use here. Probably more of a realist, a little more analytical, might have seen this coming. But you, if you've espoused on this podcast so often, are the emotional guy. It's the UNLV is the name on the jersey, so we're never going to be this bad. So I thought you might have a little bit different reaction. I thought this might be a little jarring for you to see, just a team that looks this helpless.
Well, I think, you know, I was telling Mike earlier offline that UNLV, because Menzies got here so late, they had to build a roster to fill the team this year of guys who just aren't college basketball players, you know. And when the season's over and you'll have a full – the season will be over like March 10th, right? You could start building toward the future then. You're going to have to look who on the team moving forward can you keep. And aside from, you know, Dwayne Morgan, Javon Mooring, Clyborne apparently, you know, the Baxter kid probably won't be back because he never plays. You just don't know who in the hell is going to be on the team, but you hope that some of the guys on the team aren't here because they suck.
Well, and I was just talking about the talent issue where the team is just not talented. And if you look at just from a pure – two of the most talented physically players on the team are Troy Baxter, the freshman power forward, and Jalen Poyser, the sophomore guard. Those are guys who were – Baxter was the top 100 recruit. Jalen Poyser, I believe, was like a top 80 recruit 2 years ago. So those are two of their most talented players. And as the season has gone on, they've played less and less, whereas the point where Baxter does not play anymore, basically. They're calling it an injury issue. I'm not sure how accurate that is. He played a few minutes against Reno, but that's the only game out of the last six that he's played in. Jalen Poyser's minutes just continue to go down and down and down, and he did not play at San Diego State. Menzies said it was a violation of team rules. That's why they held him out of the game. But even before that, his minutes are going down every game, to the point where, you know, he lost his starting job. He's playing, you know, 12 minutes a night, 14 minutes a night. Those are two of their most talented players, and they're going in the wrong direction as the season goes on, to the point where you do have to start to wonder if you're even going to see them here next year.
Yeah, and that's what's worrisome, is that this whole hiccup, you know, we've gone through this story 1,000 times. You fire a coach, you can't get a coach you wanted, can't get the other coach you wanted, can't get the other coach you wanted, you got Marvin Menzies. And now you're seeing where, you know, you can't even get players. And
I wouldn't say that yet. I wouldn't say they can't get players because they were put in extraordinary circumstances. I think you still have to give him one more offseason to recruit, no offense to the players on the team now, but to recruit normal college basketball players, guys that you would expect to be playing you know, in the Mountain West and college, because they had the there's a baseline level of recruit, and then UNLV sort of had to dip below that to fill their team this year, just to fill the roster. So there are sub replacement level players on this team. You've got to give them one off season at least, probably two, to start bringing in like actual college basketball players who can give you minutes. Like there are guys, like you said, Slavonchinin, guys like Ben Coupette. There are guys on the team.
I forgot that guy was even on the team.
Yeah, there are guys who just
does
can't.
He count still?
Yeah, there are guys who can't.
And he's going to stay?
I don't know if he's going to stay, but you've got to give Menzies a chance. If Menzies had a full recruiting season and recruiting cycle, I don't think either of those two guys are on this team. You've got to give him a couple more off seasons to draft to recruit guys who are better than that, which I think he can easily do.
Yeah, I think especially – I think saying he can't get players, I think it's way probably too early to say that, just because, I mean, UNLV, I know because of everything that's happened, we're going to be pessimistic and look at where they are, but, I mean, they still have some advantages in recruiting that I think other schools don't have. And, I mean, the book on Menzies was how passionate he was about this job and how much he loves UNLV and how much he believes in it. I got to think, and it's certainly from when I've been around him, it seems like that. I got to think that's going to be a little
totally
more
agree.
Contagious with the whole year
totally agree, Case.
Of recruiting. So, you know, I'm not ready to say, like, this is going to be that stretch that I think Brewer has often talked about where UNLV just totally fell off the map for a decade. I'm not ready to say that yet, but it has been a rough year. When you're going through players, I will give you guys credit, each of you credit for one thing on the last podcast. If I remember anything, it was Mike's impassioned defense of Jovan Mooring, who's probably turned out to be their best player, and Brewer's already walking away from Troy Baxter, excuse me, after like 10 games, who's not even playing now. So both of you guys are right on that. That being said, I mean, going forward now, I mean, what are like the big things we need to watch? What players are, you know, you talked about some guys that shouldn't be here. Who do we need to see take a step forward in these last 4 or 5 games, including the tournament?
This is the part that I love. I love the look ahead to the next year. I mean, it starts with, I think Mooring is your best player right now. I think he's a guy you want back, and you want him playing a big role next year. Maybe not necessarily on the ball as much, but I think next year your backcourt is Jordan Johnson and Jovan Mooring, and I think that's a really good start. I think that's a good Mountain West backcourt.
You're telling me, first of all, there's no way they make a run in the tournament with
no.
Green, Mooring, Jones.
No.
Does a run count as winning one game? Something they could do that.
I mean, because with the exception – I mean, we've seen them be outclassed physically or Jimmy versus Jimmy or Joe versus Joe in the last week or so. But the other 5 losses in this streak were, like, at the buzzer, or they were up and they couldn't hold on to the lead. Could lightning strike in a pan where somebody upsets? Because the league is so balanced, right?
I mean, there
is – where somebody could upset a UNR, and now UNLV gets a team they match up better against? Could they win a game? Could they win 2 games? Because I think when you talk about next year, if you could grab any kind of momentum, you know, maybe it's Mooring feels better about himself, or maybe Menzies like, listen, I won 2 tournament games with freaking this ex-player. Come help me, type of thing.
I mean, theoretically, they could win, just because the Mountain West is not that good, and you can probably beat any team. You know, if UNLV plays their A game and UNR plays their F game, then you got a chance. The other teams that are in that middle tier, you know, your Air Forces and your Fresnos and teams like that, yeah, you can catch them on a bad day and UNLV can beat them. But, I mean, I don't expect them to make – to me, a run in the conference tournament means you're getting to, like, the semifinals or the finals, and then you're, like, the Cinderella team.
That's 2 wins. The first game, you're going to play some crappy team in front of 10 people that you could beat. Right? The playing game.
I think we all agreed they could win the first. No one's counting them out of the first game.
Okay, so they win the playing game against whoever, Wyoming, Air Force. Pick your favorite team. And then who would they play?
I don't know. We'd have to look at the standings.
Would it be
who they're
Reno as of right now, I would think?
No, because CSU's in first, aren't they?
Colorado State, I believe, is the first place team.
Okay.
So I'd rather play them. Why can't you beat CSU? The line in that game is only going to be like 4 or 5 CSU.
I mean, UNLV's played them twice and got blown out both times.
Yeah, but it's CSU. CSU's, they're not that good. The line in that game is going to be 4 or 5.
I do not think the line would be 4 or 5.
What is it going to be? 10?
No, not
eight?
10. But Seven.
Seven. You're a live dog at seven, bro. All day. If you got Colorado State in the quarters at seven,
it's a lot. And you're building
with Javon Mooring.
So you've come around on Javon Mooring as well.
I haven't come around on him, but I mean he's the only player on the team that scores. Now his shot selection, or he's Kobe. He's putting up 40 shots to score 30 points, or whatever it is.
It's Javon Mooring. I believe he's been thrust into a role that is new to him. I think he has to.
He played Division II, JC. Yeah. He's wearing shoes that match the shoes of the guy on his team. Hell yeah, it's new.
Like Javon Mooring, you see these Division II, like these high scorers, guys that score 40 a game in JUCO. And if he had come to UNLV, and he came in with no one really expected much from him. If he had come in and Menzies had said, like, hey, we need a gunner off the bench, or hey, we need you to just come in and jack up shots and be instant offense, and that's what he was doing and having some success, I would say, oh, that makes sense. That's a good coaching job. That's a good find by Menzies. They found a guy who can play that role. But they took that guy from junior college who was just asked to score every time he touched the ball, and they've put him not only up to the Division I level but into a completely different role, which is now he's playing point guard, and he's leading, or he, for one point, he was leading the Mountain West in assists, and you know he's the guy that's running their pick and rolls, and it is a completely different thing, and I think he's done a really good job. I think Mooring has by far been their best player. He's like the brightest spot on the team, where some guys have gone backwards this year. I just think that he's gone forwards, and if you're looking for a way for them to steal a tournament game, this is not going to. If you don't like that style of ball, you're probably not going to want to hear it, but their best chance to win is probably to put the ball in his hands, let him run 50 pick and rolls, let him shoot it 20-plus times, and just see if he can win you a game.
Well, there you go.
I'm down with that plan as
well. You get the first one, and then you got live action, baby. Then dominoes start falling, and next thing you know, you're playing it Friday night at 8 o'clock, and nobody's got anything better to do, and we get 400 fans there, and they turn the air conditioning on, and next thing you know, Troy Baxter gets in the game because he actually could play, and he goes for 12-8, and now we're stuck with him for three more years.
12-8, you're saying 12 shots in 8 minutes?
Yeah. I don't know. Just because the league is so crappy, I just don't want to discount them with, like, okay, Wednesday at 12, they're going to be playing Air Force in the playing game, and Air Force is going to beat them by 50.
This is going to be a –
and then let's – okay, give Menzies a mulligan because TKM effed it up, and now let's start the new era, if you will.
I know that your point of view is also the same point of view shared by the players, because that's what they all say whenever you ask them about, how is the season going and what's your point of view and what do you focus on? And they all say, we're focused on that Mountain West tournament. We still think we can beat anyone. Like Javon Mooring, he said that after the last two losses. He said, we still think we can beat anyone if we play well. We think we can make noise in the conference tournament. So they're with you. The players are with you on that one.
This is going to sound like the ultimate hot take, and I want to preface it by saying that I'm not saying it's great or anything, but am I alone in thinking I think the Mountain West is a little bit better than I expected than the last time we talked going into the conference? I thought it was going to be even worse. I didn't think it was going to have this type of depth. I mean, I think there's five or six teams that UNLV has very little chance of beating in the conference tournament. I don't think I would have said that a month ago. So I actually don't think the Mountain West is quite as bad as maybe we expected. Am I crazy in that?
No, I think from an NCAA standpoint, it's still a one-bid league, and it's always been a one-bid league. So I don't think anyone's going to sneak in there and get that second bid. So from that standpoint, it's still a down year. But I do think you're right. Colorado State is surprised. I don't think people expected much from them this year, but for them to be in first place this late in the year, that adds another good to quality team. San Diego State started, what did they start, 0-3 in conference, and they took them a while to find their footing. I think they're hitting their stride now. I think they've won 5 out of 6. They look good against UNLV. They didn't look great, but they look good, and that's a team that you can always expect to play better late in the year. And you've got Reno, which has been strong. They've stumbled a few times, but still I think the favorite. I mean, there's three teams right there that are pretty good. New Mexico can beat any of those three teams if they play a good game. So I do think you're right that there are – it's not Reno and the rest of the league like we expected. It's more like Reno and these other three teams that are going to probably slug it out.
I agree with you. I think you'd have to make Reno the favorite, but I know that Brewer would never, ever commit to that. So I'm interested to get your Mountain West champion prediction.
New Mexico, best player in the league.
Being? Brown? Elijah Brown?
Yeah.
All right. I knew it. I knew it wouldn't be Reno. So I was just
he's underwhelming for me.
It's all right. He'll be in the league.
I still like Reno. Like they were the most impressive team that I've seen live this year. Just watching them, you know, on the court, they completely blew UNLV out. It was never a game. That's the one team that UNLV has not even showed one shred of competitiveness. Over a 40-minute stretch. So that's the team that looked the most impressive to me. So just judging on that, I would say UNR.
Yeah, I think I would pick UNR as well. But, I mean, I think there's like, five teams that have, like, a 15 to 30% chance or whatever. Hopefully the math works out of that and win. So I think it'll be a fun tournament, if nothing else, to see what plays out there. All we've talked about, though, is the tournament. Before we leave, UNLV does have four more regular season games this week. At Air Force and hosting UNR, I believe. I know, Brewer, you've advocated it all goes down to the tournament now, trying to make a run in there, but what in these last regular season games, I mean, do you want to see them win one to go into the conference tournament with some a little bit of positivity? Are we destined for an 11-game losing streak? What do you think for these last handful of regular season games?
You know, obviously I think they're going to need to get some kind of confidence moving forward for the tournament, so... You know, Air Force tomorrow is about as winnable as they're going to see. Granted, it's on the road. UNLV doesn't play good in the Thomas and Mack on the road or Nintendo after the game. So we'll have to see what happens. But I think you got to start playing better. You went from losing close to getting killed. So you need to play better, win, and then see what happens.
You said confidence, and that's probably my biggest focus for the last four games as well. Just when a team goes a month without winning, like, your confidence has to take a hit. You've got to be shaken. It's got to have some sort of negative effect on you. Marvin Menzies sort of alluded to it after the San Diego State loss, where he said, you know, we really want to get a win before the conference tournament because, I mean, the players still believe that they can make a run, to use your term. They still believe they can make a run in the tournament, but they got to get a win in the regular season. You've just got to feel, like, just to give them some confidence that, like, hey, this is how you win a game. These are the plays you have to make in the last 3 minutes to win a game. And when you haven't done that for a month, basically a quarter of the season now, they've gone without winning, you got to get one. Air Force, maybe Utah State at home, those are probably the two most winnable. You got to get one of those.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, with each loss, the player's confidence could potentially dwindle, and he could lose them.
I mean, that's a fear with any team that is spiraling, especially towards the end of the year. And that's why Jalen Poyser, who by all accounts, from what I can tell when I deal with him, seems like a pretty nice kid. When he starts getting suspended for violations, you know, of team rules, that's sort of a concern. At this, like you said, when you pair it with where they are in the season and this losing streak and this late in the year and everything's sort of spiraling, that's concerning to me when players start getting suspended. So I'd like to see him on the court. I'd like to see him contributing, and I'd like to see UNLV get a win, just one, in these next four games to sort of give them something going into the postseason.
Well, that certainly answers that question. I will point out the last two games of the Air Force, five overtimes. So buckle in for a classic maybe on Wednesday night. We'll certainly be back to chat before conference tournament week kicks off, see if UNLV can pull off Brewer's dream and win a couple games in the tournament at the Thomas and Mack. For Ray and Mike, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Room.